But Lord, who am I? Boy, what a difference. When you can say, who am I, instead of saying, look who I am. Look who I am. God don't use them kind of folks. That's what the trouble is today in the pulpits. Look at me. Look who I am. There was another in the Bible. I got to get this sketch. It's a biographical review here just briefly here in this moment of time. But these men that were forgotten turned out to be the great deliverers of God's people. In the 11th chapter of Judges, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. But he was a son of an harlot. Did he have anything to do with it because his mother wasn't of the best character? Did you? Did I have anything to do with the fact my mother was a saint? And if your mother was a harlot or a Jezebel, did you have anything to do with that? No, you didn't. You didn't have a thing in the world to say about it. And Jephthah didn't have anything to say about it either. See, he'd been born to Gilead, and Gilead had had other sons and daughters of other wives, or another wife, and they grew up and they pushed Jephthah out and said, you're not going to stay in our father's house and be an inheritor of the blessings because you're the son of a strange woman. And boy, they run him off. You know where he went? To the land of Tob and gathered vain men around him. Vain men. If that's the best God's got to have to take care of his servant that he's called and chosen and anointed, he'll use them. We've had some vain men just about to save this ministry at times. Not all saints, but thank the Lord for them. Now you find out what happened here briefly in the 10th chapter of Judges, beginning of verse 15. The children of Israel said to the Lord, we've sinned, doing us whatsoever seemeth good to thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee this day. Now the children of Israel were praying for deliverance. God's people in America are praying for the church to be turned back to old-time holiness and repentance and to the fear of God and the favor of God again too. Ladies and gentlemen, who's God going to use? Said, send us a deliverer. And they put away the strange gods among them and served the Lord. And then the soul of the Lord was grieved for the misery of Israel. And the children of Ammon gathered together their armies and camped against Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? Who'll be our leader? Who'll be our general? Who's got the courage? Who has valor? Who has the wisdom? And who has God with him? And they began to question. And they said, whoever will come and lead us to victory will be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Well, that's a very honorable job. They had no head. Every preacher they had was scared of those Ammonites. Well, they got to thinking. Over the next chapter it says, verse 5, when the children of Ammon came to make war against Israel, the elders of Gilead sent to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said to him, come be our captain, that we may fight the children of Ammon. And Jephthah, he argued with him. He reprimanded him. He said, did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? What'd you come to me for when you're in distress? See, when you're getting in trouble enough, you're going to look up a real man of God instead of a phony, like Americans glory in today. Some old entertainer. You let Americans get in enough of trouble, they're going to look up somebody got the anointing and got the message. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, said, if you'll go fight for us, you can be head over us. And Jephthah said to the elders, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver me, shall I be your head? Yes, you can be head. You can be ruler over us. He said, very good. I'll come back. You know, God's people need somebody to rule over and make them behave themselves. Make them live right. Make them dress holy and live holy. God, have mercy sakes, and walk humbly with our God. It's going to happen. God's going to turn the thing around. It's going to take some tribulation, and it's coming fast. So they sent for Jephthah. Come on back home. You're welcome home, buddy. We ran you off because you wasn't popular. But now we're in trouble. You're a man of valor. You're not afraid of the devil. You're not afraid of none of his ancestors. You're not afraid of these big shot preachers and their ballyhooing. Come on back now. Okay, if I can be your ruler, I'll come back and lead you. That's the only way it'll ever work. And God's getting things ready for that. Daniel. My Lord, what a great man. I love to read about Daniel. Daniel, the 5th chapter. King Belshazzar made a great feast to a thousands of his lords and drank wine before him. While he was drinking wine, a hand began to write on the wall. This kingdom was in trouble. This king was a dissolute, wretched monarch full of idolatry. Had wives and concubines. Everything God disrespected and abhorred, this king committed those abominations. And while he was drinking wine and praising their gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone, a hand began to write right against the wall where he was sitting. Meaning, Tekel, you Upharsin, just a hand. There was a body there, but he didn't see it. There was a body. There wasn't no, God just don't send hands and feet. He sends bodies. But he couldn't see the rest. He just wanted to scare him good by seeing just that handwriting. And Lord, he began to cry out to send in, verse 7, the astrologers. The astrologers? Do you know anybody that lives almost by astrology? They're always confused. And they're seeking people's guidance that are equally confused with them. There's nothing to it. It's of the devil. He called the astrologers. He called the Chaldeans. He called the soothsayers. That's what most preachers are. Man, he had them in there. And they looked at that writing. And it baffled them. See, the Lord wrote that. These preachers, they can't even read what's in the Bible and interpret it correctly. How are they going to read something like this? He called the wrong bunch. His old popular preachers. They were there. He said, hey, if any of you guys can read this, I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom, put a chain of gold on your neck, put your scarlet on you, and make you ride in the first chariot. My Lord, what a reward. They said, hey, king, we can't read that. His old knees, they're shaking, all the old loins all loose, and him a knees buckle and shaking. Oh, Lord, look what happened in verse 10. The queen, when she heard of the distress, she came to the banquet house, said, oh, king, live forever. Don't let your thoughts trouble you or your countenance be changed. There's a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, Daniel, a forgotten man. Man, that fellow had been popular and respected among with Nebuchadnezzar, his granddaddy. See, there was another king in here between chapter 5 and chapter 4 of Daniel. I once knew his name, but I've forgotten it in the snows of time and winters have come and gone. I'll try to look it up sometime, but there was another king in here, and that was his father. It was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had been dead a long time. This kingdom lasted 70 years, remember? Nebuchadnezzar ruled about 30 of those years, or 32. And there was another man in there. And during, from Nebuchadnezzar until Belshazzar's third or fifth year, we're not sure, he either reigned from 3 to 5 years. There was another king, and during that whole administration of that king, during that his reign of that kingdom, over that kingdom, Daniel was forgotten. He was a forgotten man. Belshazzar didn't even know him. When his grandfather respected Daniel highly and even fell at his feet when he interpreted his dream and told him the judgments of God when he was driven out for 7 years and ate grass like an ox. And now the queen comes in and says, there's a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, a forgotten man. Said, if you'll call him, he'll interpret your dream. Because in the days of your father, it was his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, I say, he made him master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Daniel, he had authority over these old dumb preachers. It's a good thing. There was an excellent spirit in him. There was knowledge. There was understanding. There was interpreting of dreams. There was dissolving of doubts. There was showing of hard speeches found in the same Daniel. Says, you call him, and he'll read that writing and show you the interpretation, O king. So Daniel was brought in before the king, verse 13. And the king spake to Daniel. He didn't even know him. He'd been forgotten, forsaken, lonely. After he'd become a man high in government, the next king forgot him. Belshazzar's son had forgotten him. But in trouble, You always look up a holy man of God. You don't look up no soothsayer.